The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh yeah, the official Law-Abiding Biker Media private patron member only ride meetup and event is scheduled for 2023. Join us at the event and further the hashtag Biker Revolution. We'd love to ride with you and meet you in person, of course. So mark your calendars now. The event will be Tuesday, May 9th, 2023 near Reno, Nevada. And the requirements to attend this event are you must be a contributing mid-level and above patron member no later than January 1st, 2023. Yep, that's 4 months prior to the event. Head over to lawabidingbiker.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, for more information. And here are some further details on the event. The Law Abiding Biker crew, which will be about 10 of us this year, will meet you somewhere around the Hawthorne Babbitt, Nevada area around 1 p.m. We will have a one-hour meet and greet at that location. And kickstands up will be at 2 p.m. sharp. We'll then take you on a group ride and lead you into the greater Reno, Nevada area, which is an easy 2-hour, 15-minute ride and around 125 miles. Easy peasy. Upon arrival near Reno, Nevada, at 4:30 p.m., we'll treat you to a special catered dinner and social event. We'll wine you and dine you, but we ain't gonna 69 you. The social event will close down about 7 p.m., but have no doubt, patron members always continue the social event at a different location amongst themselves. So we suggest you get lodging in Reno, Nevada now for the event, and that's completely on you. And there is only one official place that you can sign up for the event, Bikeaholics. Yep, that's at lawabidingbiker.com/2023 meetup. That's lawabidingbiker.com/2023 meetup. All one word, no dashes, no spaces. Once you submit your registration form, the confirmation of your patron status and other general vetting will commence. After sign up, you'll receive several emails. One of those emails will be to confirm your subscription to our 2023 patron member email event list. If you don't see that email within a few minutes, please check your email junk spam folder and hit the confirmation button on that email so you are on that official list. We have to have you on the list and we'll be verifying. This is the one and only way we will communicate to you the exact details of the event as it approaches. Also, we will only be giving more specific details about the ride and meetup event to those who have officially signed up and have been verified. And the deadline for sign up is March 15th, 2023 at midnight. No exceptions can be made. Once it closes, it closes. So don't miss out on this awesome opportunity. Also, if you sign up, we need you to attend, as a ton of planning and expenses go into making these events great. Of course, if an unexpected emergency arises after you've already signed up, please send us a courtesy email ASAP advising us that you won't be able to make it. Okay, I'm calling out to any patron members in or around the Reno, Nevada area. We really need your help to organize the actual social dinner event, such as the location and food situation. Please hit us up if you can help us at lawabidingbiker.com/contact or DM us within your patron member account. Having patron member involvement in the past has always helped to make these events a huge success. Oh, and if you've yet to take the leap and join the Biker Revolution as a contributing patron member, there's no better time to consider doing so than right now. This is just one of many benefits you get for being a patron member. And best of all, you'll know you're supporting us financially so we can continue our mission to help educate, connect, and inspire as many bikers as we can worldwide. So these ride and meetup events have gained in size each year that we've been doing them. So let's make 2023 the biggest ever Law Abiding Biker patron member ride and meetup event. And let's make history. We hope to see you there. Peace. Lurch, you want to know how to have a fresh smelling and squeaky clean butt before riding? Well, I'll let you know how. Get hooked up with Dude Wipes flushable wet wipes. Oh yeah, Lurch, your butt will smell like a breath of fresh air.
Always does.
Support us. Head over to lawabidingbiker.com/fresh-butt. That's /fresh-butt, B-U-T-T. That's right. No additional cost to you, but we do get a small commission if you click through and make a purchase, and we highly recommend the mint version.
Yeah.
Your ass will smell
like a breath mint. Of fresh air.
Yeah.
A breath mint.
Okay. It's like a breath mint for your ass, Lurch. Mm, we love the mint. Leaves you feeling refreshed. And they have travel ones. Don't forget, because we're rocking them in our adventure bikes and we're rocking them in our street bikes. Little travel packs, dude wipes for on the go. That's right. Discreetly grab one out of your computer bag. Discreetly head to the John. Take your
discreet dump.
Pinch a loaf. And then you get
drop the kids off at the pool.
That's right. And then your ass. That's right. That breath mint for your ass. There you go, guys. We do use them. Use the heck out of them. That's why we promote them.
I handed them out to a couple buddies on a recent camping trip.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we got a couple more people converted to the dude wipes.
Nice. Here's the deal. You're ready to go on a trip. That's right. You're in the law-abiding biker store. You're shopping. You got three whiskeys in you. You're like, I need that in my life. You reach in your pockets. What do you have? Boom. Lint and a penny. Maybe two pennies. You're like, I can't get it, but I need it for the trip. Well, no worries, because we have integrated shop pay installments right in the law-abiding biker store for you. You can now have the option to buy products right freaking now. That's right. Right before you pour that fourth whiskey, knowing you can pay in four equal payments, interest free. You can down to monthly too, but it does come under interest. That's right. And we strongly encourage you while you're shopping in the law-abiding biker store to drink alcohol as much as you like, or I guess you could smoke a doobie.
Depending on where you're at and if it's legal.
But I think alcohol has a better effect of losing your inhibitions. Yeah. Well, no, weed does too.
Wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's what, you know, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. All right. Got an email here from Susan Rogers of Lawton, Oklahoma. Why don't you just handle this, my man?
Susan is a patron member.
Thank you, Susan.
So her email says, my name is Susan Rogers and I'm a patron member. I want to say thank you for all the information on the podcast. I just finished podcast 94. Mm. I learned that my helmet was not the best protection. I'll be buying a new one. I always wear my helmet because I do not trust other drivers to watch out for motorcycles. That's good.
Interesting.
Never trust
me neither.
Them. I am learning a lot about the motorcycle world that I did not know. The information on the podcast and videos are very helpful and informative. I did own a V-Star 650, but sold it due to going to school full-time and working. I'm interested in a Harley trike and was wondering if I have to do the first oil change through them. I know I can do my own oil change and keep detailed records of it, but was wondering about on a new trike. I love watching the documentary videos, and you produce great job. Okay. Oh, that you produce. Great job. I can't read worth a crap.
Lurch, you have not learned yet.
Well, you know, you're reading
you
other people's language sometimes.
You never make fun. You clean it.
Yeah.
If it's not perfect.
I
you
tried.
Just make it work. You don't call it out. What? Jeez.
Let me read. I think it was my mistake. So let me reread
likely.
It. I love watching all the documentary videos that you produce.
Documentary.
Great job. I would be recording my trip as soon as I can. I am looking forward to my own adventure. Keep up the great work. And this was your response, actually. Thanks for the kind words, Susan, and thank you for being a patron member and supporting our efforts. It's what keeps us going. You can do your first oil change on your trike at 1,000 miles as a break-in service. There's nothing specific stating you can't do it, and it's no different than the routine 5,000-mile services. It's just a break-in service, and there's metal shavings that are created during the braking period, and you want to flush that out with new fluid. I hope this helps.
Thank you. lawabidingbiker.com/contact is how she got a hold of us. Leave an email, or better yet, a voicemail right from anywhere in the world. Your built-in microphone in your smartphone or your computer. It is free. We love hearing your voices, but we also appreciate the emails. And I would also steer this question towards our recent video that's blown up on Harley Davidson lawsuits and warranty and Magnuson Moss Warranty Act. We did a podcast on it, right?
Yes,
we did. Did we already record that? It's not out yet.
It's not out. It should be out before this one.
Well, you did put it out.
Did I?
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Oh, that's right. We bumped it right to the front because it was breaking news.
The podcast is out. Why don't you find what episode? And then it's also, you can go to the website and search Harley Lawsuit or search the YouTube channel. There's search functions on both. And you'll come up with that video and it'll explain what we're talking about and why we know that you can do your own service at 1,000 and you do not need a dealership to do it. So check that in. Did you get an episode number yet?
Absolutely. It is Lab 311, episode 311.
Lawabidingbiker.com/311.
Nope, 312.
312. 312.
Strike.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. It's check it out. The podcast and the video will explain all of that. Want to ride longer? You tired of a sore and achy ass? Then fix it with a high-quality butt buffer seat cushion. Head over to lawabidingbiker.com/store. Check out our full line of butt buffer seat cushions. Guess what, Lurch? Mm. Before the podcast, you were being a baby. And it's actually, we were already recording, so maybe you can put that up front before we get started.
Of course, you're always recording early to catch us saying something funny.
But you were crying about the volume of your headphones, and you had me adjust it. Guess what? To right back where you started, bitch. Nope.
It's a little loud.
Oh, yeah. Once you've had rickrack, you'll never go back.
I thought you were just yelling. This is a little loud.
No. It's right back where it was.
You dick.
I turned it right back. I go, is that good? You're like, no, that's good. Nope.
You were talking differently than you are now.
Oh, yeah.
You're speaking much louder right now.
Once you've had rickrack, you'll never go back. The ultimate motorcycle luggage rack solution. Forget those messy straps and bungee cords. Go strapless with a rickrack quick attach luggage system and quality bag. Head over to lawabidingbiker.com/store. Get hooked up now. Bikeaholics. Guess what?
What?
Zero 3D has a wide variety of innovative products for your Harley-Davidson and a brand new line for the all-new Honda Goldwing named Goldstrike.
I like gold.
Top quality, affordable chrome lighting and comfort products. Zero Goldstrike are the motorcycle LED lighting innovators for CAN bus plug-and-play system compatibility. Head over to lawabidingbiker.com/store. Check out our full line of Zero 3D products. Shall we just do it? I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling something. I need a dude wipe.
Feeling it in my nether regions. Welcome back, you freaking bikeaholics. This is a podcast for the motorcycle majority, the big MM, also known as the
99%.
Large and in charge of the motorcycle scene more than any time in history. By being here, you're part of what we call the hashtag
Biker Revolution.
That's right. One question before we get started. What are you waiting for, bikeaholics?
Mount up and let us take you on another wild ass ride.
There you go. Ryan Urlacher here, your host of the Law Abiding Biker Podcast and your
high tech redneck.
There you go. He's in the house. The man, the myth, the legend, Lurch in the house, recording on a lovely afternoon here. Don't forget this episode, if you're a patron member, will be going out early. You'll get it months before the regular listening audience in the back end of your Patreon accounts. Another benefit for being a member, we'll get it uploaded right away for you all so you can listen to it. Everybody else, months down the road. All right. Now, we've got an awesome episode for you. It's going to have some funny stories and good information too. We're not exactly sure how deep in the weeds we're going to get or deep in the powder dirt. But nonetheless, we may get into the dirt. But anyways, it should be a fun episode, even if you're not adventure riding. Obviously, we write street primarily, but we love riding adventure, especially here in the fall. We're trying to jam in some rides before winter hits because things is going to get muddy, snowy, and nasty up in the mountains where we ride. Blessed to live where we live because literally 10 minutes out my back door, we can be in some awesome off-road. And then 20, 30 minutes, you're in the mountainous terrain overlooking Mount Rainier, all kinds of beauty around here. And we love riding adventure. So Lurch, this year, if you've listened to some past episodes, got into adventure riding, bought himself a KLR. We've got YouTubes on the video channel, the YouTube channel, videos on there for you guys. And also when he bought his bike, and then we've been doing a bunch of shorts. So make sure looking us up over on Instagram, Law Abiding Biker, and putting out shorts and things there. And don't forget Facebook, Law Abiding Biker, and Twitter at Law Abiding Biker. But nonetheless, a lot of short stuff. And we actually did some equipment installs, which are going to come out on the YouTube channel. With that said, what I'm getting to is that Lurch, it's his first year and he's really taken it on. And he's been out on two rides so far on his KLR, and it's been spectacular, to say the least.
It finally just made it back to my house. It's been over at Law Abiding Biker Studios since the end of March. Bought it at the end of March, beginning of April. And with just supply chain issues and getting parts, it took a while to get the pannier racks and the crash bars and all that kind of stuff. And on top of that, we had a crazy spring and summer just doing projects here. On mostly street stuff. So we
got a late start too, because it was so rainy in the spring. Remember?
Yeah.
We were about a month behind.
At least. Yeah. We had a very wet spring, which is not common for us. Usually, you know, by By April, we're mid-April, it's starting to dry out a little bit and starting to do good, but it was all the way through May. I mean, we're getting in June before we can ride, but we actually didn't get out and do a whole lot of riding until I think we got a trip in July, and we got one in early September, and I think we're going to do another one Friday, but we'd like to have done it more. It's just we've been crazy busy with the regular job, but the boss has been good here recently. We went riding a few weeks ago, went up to Jump Off Joe, which we'll talk about, and then Friday we're riding up to Darlin Mountain. So
and Blue Lake, the beautiful Blue Lake.
It's going to be awesome. So I hope to do it even more next year.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about here in this episode, and we've got a whole bunch more for you and some things we've learned too with some equipment and different things. So stay tuned. It should be fun, even if you don't have an adventure bike, if you've ever wondered about it. And, Lurch got in cheap at the, kind of the regular entry level at a KLR 650, as did I several years ago. And so we can talk about that in case you're thinking of taking up.
Bless you, my friend.
Woo, excuse me. Audience, that was a good sneeze there.
Yeah, it was.
Get my voice back here.
Didn't even try to hold that one back.
No,
that would have taken some years off your life if you tried to hold that one.
No, that was the evil spirit straight up coming out of me. So
get out of him, evil spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Get out.
Break those chains. Yeah, all right. Be free. Let's see. So that'll be the main topic. We want to announce a new free video. I'll do this. The Scorpion EXO AT950 modular motorcycle helmet, street and adventure. It's a dual purpose helmet. It is a modular. It is absolutely awesome. I bought mine. Lurch immediately bought one. Oscar has one now. And now Big Daddy this week, in fact, was texting us.
Contemplating
getting it. It's an awesome helmet. And I did a great review on it. At the time we released that video, they were in stock through our affiliate, which you can just go. We'll put it in the show notes if you want to get one. So make sure you put that. I'll actually put it right here, Lurch.
Yeah, one of the things about you and Oscar getting into adventure riding before myself is that you guys are out there riding and testing stuff.
Yeah.
So quite a bit of stuff that I purchase is based on your guys' input. Similar with my buddy Luke as a hunting partner. The dude just destroys hunting stuff. So if there's anything that survives and he says this is good, that's what I buy. So I picked up that helmet based on your review and I'm loving it.
Yeah, it is a great helmet and not a terrible price.
No,
for as versatile as it is. And you can literally have one helmet and use it for street. I have other helmets because I'm always reviewing it for street, but I have worn it on the street and you'll see that in my review. Lawabidingbiker.com/ whatever episode number this is. You'll get the show notes and we will put an affiliate link directly through. So you make sure you click through to the exact helmet we're talking about. No additional cost to you, but if you do click through and end up making a purchase, we do get a small commission. Definitely helps keep the lights on here at the channel. So that's one of our newest free videos, always coming out with new stuff for you guys. There we go. This is supposed to be down here, Lurch. Don't you know by now? See, you didn't have it in order. Good God.
Well, I had an order. Maybe not the order you wanted in.
Well, the order we've been doing for 10 years, for God's sakes. All right. Anyways, we got to bust Lurch's chops all the time here. Now, we love our sponsors up front, but these folks, awesome, are a direct reason you're continuing to get this podcast and all the videos we put out. That's right. 10 years of it, guys. These are direct sponsors of this show. We want to definitely thank some of our newest patron members.
Kelly Giblin of Eagan, Minnesota, Roy Miller of Riverside, Illinois, and Robert Kemp of Glen Rose, Texas.
Lauren White of Zionsville, Indiana, Donald Richer of Raymond, Washington. He's a top tier right here in Washington State. Mark McGrath of Camlow, Newry, United Kingdom, UK. Rock on, UK.
We got Scott Danielson of Saratoga Springs, Utah, Artemio Agnon of Colorado Springs, Colorado, top tier, and Michael Nelson of Tucson, Arizona.
Lawabidingbiker.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. That's right. Pledge a certain amount per piece of content that we put out. No risk to you because you can put a monthly cap. We definitely understand the budget. There are a plethora of benefits for signing up, such as t-shirts and stickers. You get access to the private Facebook group, which is a troll-free zone, nothing but bikers helping bikers in there and organizing events and rides amongst themselves. You got to get in the private Facebook group. Access to podcasts early, months before everybody else. That's right. Live video broadcasts and chat. Access to our premium videos upon request. And of course, access to the group ride meetups event and the official Law Abiding Biker sanctioned yearly events. Lawabidingbiker.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And still ramping it up. And we definitely thank all of those some of our most recent members that we're getting to meet and know in the private Facebook group. So there you go, Lurch. We're going to talk a little bit about Lurch wanted to dip his feet, so to speak, in the water with adventure riding, as did I, and now I'm all in. I love adventure riding. I love street, and it'll always be near and dear to me, but I just love motorcycles. So the natural transition is to get off road. I mean, it's amazing what you can see on a street bike and all the wonderful memories and adventures we've had on street bikes cross country and continue to do that. But there's a whole nother world out there that you're not seeing if you're not at least dabbling. And when I mean adventure riding, you can go as we've talked a bit, quite a bit about adventure riding in the past with Oscar and things, but you can kind of start as light as you want, whether that's just some gravel roads, some Forest Service roads, and then you can get into more extreme, like riding in powder dirt, which we'll talk about, riding on rocks, and you can get into single track. I mean, you can take it as far as you want, but a lot of guys are like, I can't. I hear this sometimes, like, I'm just too old to adventure ride. Because you can literally, if you just stay on really groomed Forest Service roads, they're just gravel. You could literally just do that and you're adventure riding and you're going to a different lookout that you haven't seen before. Or, you know, I say we're somewhere in the middle. Well, me and Oscar for sure. And Lurch is starting to learn adventure riding. Me and Oscar can do some more extreme stuff. Mm-hmm. We've got ourselves in a few pickles pushing ourselves, but that's kind of where we're at. But I also just enjoy the easier rides too, like the other day, just some of those rides where it's not crazy single track and create, you know, ruts everywhere, but still it's technical.
Challenging for a new rider.
Exactly. Lurch will never believe me again.
No,
he questions me every time.
We're just going to take this easy route, nothing technical. And both times we've got into stuff that was technical or at least appeared to be to a new rider.
I forget. It was a year since I rode. So we rode, to Ellensburg here from Yakima and Yakima, Washington area to Ellensburg, Washington area over Monastash Ridge, kind of in what's called the old Durr Road. And I had forgot. I've ridden it quite a few times, but it had been a year and I've just, it's my fault. And I kind of felt bad. Me and Oscar were like, we kind of underplayed this because we've ridden it several times and we forget that, it's his first time on a KLR. And
first time off-road, really.
Off-road, yeah. Not first time on a KLR, but first time off-road, yeah.
Yeah, I've rode motorcycles since I was 18 years old. And before that, I was riding three-wheelers and four-wheelers. So not new to motorcycling, but I'll tell you what, you know, you get off-road on a dirt bike, if you've never ridden one, it's a completely different feeling.
Yeah, for sure. So why the KLR to dip your feet in here?
Because it was my first bike and, I wanted to make sure one that I enjoyed it. If I didn't enjoy it and had to sell the bike, I didn't want to take a beating on it. And, the price point of the KLR, I got the base model out the door, taxes and everything. It was $8,000. Would I love to have a Pan America or something like that? Or maybe, you know, some of the other more advanced, bikes, KTMs, like the 890 Adventure R or something like that. I was drooling over the 790 Adventure R back when I was just starting to kind of look around, but then you start looking at price and how much you're going to use it. It's really just a toy for me. My Harley is my main steed that I ride daily. And, this is just going to be something that break out, you know, a couple times a month at the most to go play with. So it was something that didn't hurt the pocket too bad. And if I didn't like it, I felt like I could move it along without taking too much of a beating. And it's a very compliant bike. It's a 650 single cylinder. You know, they refer to it as a tractor, just kind of chugs. Thumper.
Yep.
So not enough power to really necessarily get myself into trouble.
Yep. It's not going to throw you on your ass.
Yeah. And again, you had one and Oscar's got one. And so there was a lot of feedback I could get from you two about whether it would be a good starter bike.
And an ass load of parts.
Tons.
And Farkling. Tons. They've been around for 30 plus years. The KLR Lurch got a 2022 model. Mine's a 2018 carbureted. His is fuel injected. But you can literally get, I don't even know, like diamond bedazzle lights for, I mean, it's just, it's insane because they've been around so long, the market for KLRs.
And as we're finding out, with the 2022s, a lot of people with suspension didn't necessarily know if it was the same, but we upgraded my rear springs to Top Gun spring like you've done on your bike, and I believe Oscar did as well.
Mm-hmm.
Fit, same size. We upgraded my front suspension to the a progressive monoshock suspension. It fit just fine. So there, you know, a lot of the older stuff from the 2018s will still fit. The the 2022. The only difference is the body work is a little different. So crash bars and stuff need to be shaped a little different. But other than that, I mean, other than the body,
the work, windshield, some of that
windshield,
stuff,
some of that stuff, it's a fairly similar bike.
Yep.
Yeah, they've made some changes.
But and of course, they're starting to make the market will be just as big for 2022 and on. They're just catching up on it. Give it 2 years and all the same companies will have tons of stuff. So here's, I just do want to bring this up since you said your street glide or your road glide is your main steed. We are currently, I am in the process of trying to retrain Lurch because Lurch for all of you out there, and I know I'm going to piss some people off. You can shake your fist at me while I'm saying it, but all you people that use the kill switch on your handlebar, don't do that. Why Lurch? Because Lurch constantly,
not constantly,
you do
quite a bit.
Starbucks constantly all the time. I'm telling
time.
You,
constantly
all
right. would be every time. Quite often,
every other time.
That's high. That's I wouldn't high. Go that high.
The point is, he does it, and when you use that kill switch, you end up forgetting, and you don't turn your. I never use a kill switch. I always use my ignition. That way, I know that my light's off. I'll actually turn it off and coast into my parking spot wherever I am. So
you do you, man.
No, here's the deal. So Lurch leaves is we're going to retrain you because Lurch leaves it on for today for like 2 hours and we come out from lunch. He is damn lucky that his bike started and what's going to, we need to retrain him because what's going to burn us is we're going to be in the mountains and he's going to do that to his KLR and we're going to fricking have a dead bike 50 miles up in the mountains away from home. So here's what I'm going to do to train Lurch. I actually have a training tool and I'm going to, he doesn't know it. He does now. We're going to put duct tape over his kill switch so that he doesn't even know it exists anymore. And every time he goes to reach up there, it's going to remind him. I give it a year and he'll be retrained because he's old. It's hard to train the old guy. All right. I just had to bring that up because I, you know, number one, it's a good topic. And I know a lot of you use that kill switch and you've all done it. You've all used that kill switch and forgot to turn off your ignition.
Absolutely.
If you stop using that, you won't run into that predicament. Number two, I just like trashing on Lurch.
Yes, you do. And this episode won't be short of that.
That's right. There, it won't be short. So anyways, so rocking the KLR. And so we take Lurch out on his first trip. And again, I apologize.
It's been years since I've been over this. It's a pass basically that goes between Sela, you know, Yakima area and Ellensburg, Washington. And I hadn't been over that probably
30 miles or 40 miles.
Yeah, probably. It's been probably 20 years since I went over that. And I went over it in a 4x4 and
drunk, mudding, throwing beer cans out the window.
No,
kinds of that stuff goes on up there, by the way.
I'm sure it does.
It's a no man's land. Yeah. You know, you were in high school once.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Some dead bodies up there. On it in years and people get up on those roads in the spring and the fall and the winter and just tear the shit out of them. So, you know, in 20 years, it's been a lot different than I recall it. It's a little rougher.
Mm-hmm. It is. And what's making a lot of these roads rough now, guys, is the onslaught of these side-by-sides.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if in your area, I think it is, guys, nationwide. Honest, and I have nothing against side-by-sides.
No, I'd love to have one.
They're great. We would love to have them. But the reason they're so popular is you have to have zero experience to drive one. You can literally
point it just and smash the gas.
It's a car with tires that can go on dirt and suspension. And so every Tom, Dick, and Harry can get a hold of one and they are effing everywhere and they are totally screwing up a lot of stuff. It used to be Jeeps, but they're uprooting a lot of routes and different, they're just gouging out a lot of the roads and
yeah, I think
it makes it hard for a motorcycle.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Jeepers had a lot more concern about the trails and try to keep them in tracked and, you know,
well, there's a whole,
that whole tread lightly kind of idea.
There's a whole courtesy with the Jeep clubs. Right. Mm-hmm. These side-by-sides, like I said, anybody, it's like the guy that goes to Costco and thinks he wants to fly a drone because they're trying to get rid of drones, you know, and has no clue about any of the rules or the regulations. Same with those. They're just like, hey, honey, let's go get a side-by-side. Zero training, zero etiquette. But again, we love side-by-sides. They'd be fun as hell. But anyways, tearing up the trail is pretty good.
The road, yeah. So my first little bit of oh shit was we got on the road. We were only a couple miles in. And there was a bunch of new gravel that was laid down. And it was thick and deep. I guess deep would be the appropriate word. And we went from a hard pack.
She said.
We went from hard pack that was pretty easy to maneuver onto that. And it I just could feel the traction and the front tire starting to float. And it, I had that oh shit moment where I sucked up a little bit of the seat.
Yep. That's something that you have to get used to. Mm-hmm. It, it happens on my bike still constantly. But yeah, it's an uneasy feeling and you just
because
riding in deep gravel, it just walks on you. You just got to walk with it, but it is shitty feeling, especially at first till your mind accepts it.
Right.
You got to get,
I think that's worse for a new rider because I'm used to being on the street, things planted. Now I'm kind of floating all over the place. You just got to go with it. And I've learned that sometimes, I'm picking a path that I want to go and the bike's not, doesn't like that path. It's going to go another path.
Yep.
So sometimes you just got to go with it.
Yep. True. I was hauling the mail.
Yeah. You guys are going.
Dude, I was hauling the mail.
Yeah, you.
That was fun.
You usually have to stop and wait for me.
That's all right.
Yeah,
it's fun. We don't mind. You're out on an adventure bike, and we're having fun. So, so this is the road that I told Lurch, Oscar, and I said, honestly, I just forget. And
it's easy. Just to grab.
We've ridden so much shit. You know, I'm like, it's not that. It's just across to Ellensburg. It's not that big a deal. It became apparent from Lurch that it was more technical. And I realized once we're up there that for a first ride, I could have probably picked something a little lighter.
Yeah.
I did do it again.
And I hadn't, my crash guards hadn't come in yet, I believe, or we got them and hadn't had time. Nope. They hadn't come in yet. So, you're like, it's an easy road. No big deal. I said, hey, listen, I don't have the crash bars on this thing. I'd really rather not lay it over. Oh, don't worry, man. It's just a gravel road up over to Ellensburg.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was. God, I'm an idiot.
And the first, my first crash, if you will, was just.
So we were away from you.
Yeah.
You kind of fell behind. We were going to wait for you up ahead, right?
Yeah. We were going now. So we went from the gravel. Now we're more and more of dirt with some rock. And there is some upgrades and downgrades. And on a particular upgrade, which wasn't crazy steep, water had run through that this spring. Cause like I mentioned, we got, I think it was in this podcast earlier, we got a lot more rain than we've ever gotten. And so there was rain washouts and my front tire got in a washout and I slowed down too much. I should have just gassed through it, but I slowed down and, lost balance and just dumped the bike over on its side. So that was the first time that, 2022 KLR got laid over.
And this is normal people.
No crash guards on it. So it did hit a little bit of the body on the, or the plastic on behind the front wheel on the left side and the handlebar. The handlebar took most of it, didn't just scratch it up, didn't do any damage, but it did put some light cracks in the body.
Yes.
So it got some battle wounds before we got the crash protection on it.
Pop the cherry on this KLR.
Yeah, I think that's what I said to you.
Yep.
Well, we got that out of the way.
Yep, done. And you guys have heard us talk in the past, unless you're new to the podcast, that it's very normal. It's not how many, it's not whether you're going to drop your bike, your KLR in adventure riding, it's how many times, cause it's going to happen. You're going to stop. Even something as simple as stopping and putting your foot down. I've had it happen. I didn't have good footing and it slid out from under me. Woo, bam, on its side. So they're made for it. That's just life. That's why we put crash bars on them and stuff. You pick them back up and ride on. And, so it was good that Lurch got that out of the way, but I did feel bad because he didn't have his crash bars on, but whatever. my KLR Lurch is still, and I was there.
It was brand new. It had no scratches.
It's true.
It had
true.
Like, what did it have on it? Maybe, it had like 3 or 4 miles on it. Cause we picked up, it had one and then we ran around the block real quick and then parked it. So that was the first trip with it. It was brand spanking new.
Yep. It was. And, so Lurch was still in the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
He still is just a little
getting better.
He's getting better, but I was there too. I get it. Now my bike, we took it out and we're going to get into that. We rode some nasty powder dirt here and, Lurch went home, shined his bike all up, washed his gear. I threw all my gear dusty in the tub and my bike sits as it is. In fact, I rubbed up against it the other day. I go, who doesn't wash their bike? I just rubbed, I had dirt all over my jeans. I was trying to walk by it, dude, but, I should wash it at some point, but not, we're going riding this Friday. Why? Just going to get dirty again.
True.
You know, so anyways, but Lurch is slowly breaking it in and it'll get dirty in a few scratches and then he will not wash it like me and just leave it dirty. But, so that was your first little dumping of the bike. You and got it up. You got it up. Okay.
I did.
That's not what she said.
Yeah.
Oh God, dude, I'm on a roll.
It was a bit of an incline. But I was able to stand it up pretty easily, but then getting on and kind of getting going took a little bit of, you know, finesse, but
It can be difficult, even though there are 432 pounds or so, 450, you got gear 470. You know, they're a lot lighter than a touring hardy, which we can get up on the street. But the thing about most of the time on the street is you have great pavement traction and good rubber sole. it's kind of hard sometimes if you're in deep gravel or rocks to get the footing to get it up.
Right.
You know, that's why we always kind of, on that tangent, I'll get in the powder dirt a little bit. That's why we, you know, I want, and I do go riding by myself sometimes, but it is always nice and safer ride with people, because especially adventure riding, because it could be as simple as dumping your bike on a steep hill and you literally can't get the bike back up because it's just too, and your option, we are carrying GPS devices, Garmin's with SOS, you know, and things like that. You could, or walk out, but something that simple could put you in somewhat of a predicament, you know? So at minimum, just to have somebody to help lift your bike up, we can usually lift them up by ourselves. You can get good footing, but there are times where you could get yourself in a predicament. So just something to think about. But sometimes Oscar's ridden by myself and so have I, but I know where I'm going exactly. I know how tame it is. Mm-hmm. I don't like to explore beyond too much just because I like, you know, I'm by myself and right. I know that I've ridden this and it's very non-technical, but anyways, on that side note, we are doing some, reviews and testing. We're testing so much stuff for you guys right now, but one of the things both for street and, adventure, we're deep in the bowels of hell, testing
in Garmin hell.
We're not going to give a review right now. We are using them and I'm always testing. In fact, I did a video on four of my favorite and I compared them last year or the year before of my four favorite apps, both desktop and, you know, iPhone apps for street and adventure riding and planning. Check that video out on the website. Look up, just look up Ride Planner or InRoute or Rever or something like that. But we're now testing some. There's always new apps coming out and we find new ones. We're deep in it. And because we're going on adventure rides, so we're testing these Garmins. We both got Montana 700i's. We're learning that whole ecosystem and we're also testing extensively iPhones. And some of those apps, as backups, and I'm trying some new apps. And in fact, the new 14 Pro came out now. And if you guys don't know, it integrates SOS, which they didn't have before. If you don't have a cell signal, there is an SOS feature now. So that may minimize the Garmin's a little bit. So anyways, look forward to that. We're going to do a podcast on that after. We're going to test them for a few more months. We really want to, and I think there's some value for street riding too. There is a lot of value on these apps, you know, that we're using for both adventure and street. So anyways, again, I got in the powder dirt, but that look forward to that coming. That's just one of the many things we're testing right now. We got other stuff going on.
So after that, I dumped my bike. I caught up to you guys. You were dicking around in this little area that had a little bit of a bowl, going down the bowl, coming up and having fun. And I caught up to you and we went a little bit farther. And then we stop at this base of a hill. And I look, I'm like, that's pretty steep, but not a big deal.
It was a mound. It wasn't even a hill. It was a little dirt mound.
The hill with all the shale that we went up?
You're looking at me like, what?
I'm like, that was pretty steep.
It was a mole made a mound.
It was a very steep hill. It was a steep hill. I wouldn't call it very, but it was steep.
I stopped halfway up for to check on you.
Uh-huh. And but halfway up is where then it turned to shale. So one of the things about this road is it's not the best maintained. DNR will go out and drop these huge chunks of rock in, especially in areas where they tend to get rutted up or washed out. They just dump a shitload of shale, which is good if you have four wheels. It's a little sketch when you got two.
It's pretty sketch.
It definitely, you know, helps keep the road together and it keeps the four wheelers from tearing the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. But on a bike, it's a little bit sketchy. So you had stopped and I stopped next to you and you're like, doing good? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you said, well, this next section is a little bit sketchy.
It was all coming back to me.
Back to you. Yeah. You're like, just point it up there and don't stop. Whatever you do, don't stop.
That's right.
And
work that clutch.
I did. And that's one thing, you know, I probably talked about it in my episode about my law enforcement career, but I tried to go through motor school and I hurt myself and had to step out. But one of the things I learned.
Pinched his wiener on the tank.
Yep. When it's that large, it'll get the tank gets in the way.
Then burn it on the exhaust.
One of the things we did was something called follow the leader, and the instructor would take us out and, you know, we're on street bikes, but he would take us over curves and on gravel roads. And this one particular rainy day, at the back of the course, there's a big long grass hill And he goes through this ditch, water goes flying everywhere, and he runs right up the hill. The first guy, I mean, then so there's like eight of us going through the class, and we all stopped. The lead guy's like, thinks it's a joke, right? And then he's up there waving us up. So First guy doesn't even make it through the ditch. And then, I mean, as progressively, it's just one guy goes a little farther, a little farther, a little farther. I was maybe 10 feet from the top, and I could feel the smile on my face. I'm going to make it. And then it was gone because I started slowing down, losing traction. And on street bike, especially, but this applies to dirt bikes too. I started slowing down and I was towards the crest of the hill. So I just gave it a little more gas. Well, then
ass end go right around on
it. It came out and washed out to my left side and actually pulled my groin because I wasn't able to get my leg up. It kind of grabbed my leg as it went out. But damn it, I was so close. And a couple of guys made it. And I asked them, I go, you know, what did I do wrong? How'd you guys make it up? And they said, just keep your throttle the same, but just pull
your clutch.
They were dirt bike riders. Yep. And yeah, thank you. I should have said that. Yep. But they were dirt bike riders. I said, don't change your throttle. Just pull your clutch and let it slip a little bit so that your back tire doesn't spin.
Yep.
And so the second time we did that, I don't know, a couple of days later, I went right up it and I felt the bike starting to lose traction. I just grabbed the clutch a little bit,
getting that
just
grayer.
A little. Yeah.
All you're doing is taking some power against the rear. You can even give it a little bit of gas too.
Yeah.
And then you can just, I give it a little gas. So the RPMs are up and I just work the clutch in and out and I feel it spin. I let off a little bit and you can kind of just, it happens really fast.
Yep.
But that's good information.
I was able to use that going up through that gravel instead of, so that training helped quite a bit, but I felt very accomplished when we got to the top.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
I had such a tight grip of those handlebars, man. It was crazy. But we got to the top and got off and took a break, and I set my bike or my helmet, my brand new Scorpion EXO AT950 on the seat. Some bitch fell off and put a scratch in my shield, so I scratched up my helmet too on the first trip.
Yeah, buddy. Oh, do you remember what we were testing that day?
Oh, yeah, Ciro.
So what were we testing? We're just going to do this time because it's actually a really cool thing, guys. So Ciro 3D, obviously a ton of products. We sell them in our store. They're a sponsor of this podcast. But that day we were testing the waterproof cooler.
Yes.
And we had taken it, and it's an awesome cooler. I still have it here. Ciro sent it out to us. And
Dry Force. Waterproof cooler.
Yep. And it is a solid. If you guys have ever seen one of those Yeti coolers, this mimics it perfectly at a lot less price because you're not paying for the brand name Yeti. Everybody knows Yeti stuff is way overpriced for what it is. Oh, there's lots of people making just as good as stuff. But anyways, the Dry Force cooler, it's got straps. It works really good. In fact, one of our patron members had it on one of our recent Facebook rides.
Oh, Bob Dawson.
Bob Dawson. He bought one. And he had it on his bike, and they will keep everything completely dry. We went through mud and dirt on the KLR that day, crossed a creek.
Mm-hmm.
A creek, or is it a creek?
Depends on where you're from.
I'm going to say creek. I call it a creek,
but you can call it creek.
We did a creek, and it splashed water and all that. And you can fit quite a few beverages in it, and I guarantee it was a hot day that day. It will keep it ice cold. Super thick, super high quality. We aren't actually selling those in our store.
No.
We're not carrying them. I forget why. But we sell a lot of other Ciro products. But anyways, if you want to get that particular product, you'll have to go direct to Ciro 3D. We encourage you to do that. It's an awesome product, along with all the Ciro 3D products, which we've all come to know and love.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So we stopped at the top, and I was just getting some, basic video of the cooler and stuff. They're a beautiful view. And why don't you talk about going down the backside and kind of that, and we'll wrap it up and go into your second adventure ride,
Okay. Which
you guys will definitely want to hear because we're going to talk about something really funny. And I cry. And I'm going to have to try to keep my composure. Some of you will know about it because there's a video out on it already on the YouTube channel. That's a little teaser there. If you go to the YouTube channel or TikTok or Instagram. It's everywhere. It's all over. Lurch is famous. Yeah. He's pretty much famous. If you guys want an autograph, just let us know. We'll send it with a picture of him and this incident. Still.
Once we got to the top, then we started working our way back down into Ellensburg. The roads weren't bad. They're just narrow. There's a lot of round rocks in the roadway.
You started to feel some confidence though, like I can do this?
A little bit. I got going, some of the steep downhill, kind of getting used to the bike, doesn't have ABS. So you got to, you know, be careful with that. But sometimes you do want to slide the tire. And so just getting used to the feeling of the braking. Going downhill, I think for most people, especially beginning, is a little bit sketchier, right? When you're going uphill, it's all power. You let off the power.
Right.
You stop. You're going downhill. You let the power. Ass you're still going.
Tea kettle.
Yeah.
And you're doing an endo.
Yeah. And you may fall farther and it may, you know, you may slide farther. The bike may slide farther. So there was a couple of times where I was damn near walking the bike just because there's so many round rocks in the road of, you know, baseball size that, you know, you hit that straight on, it could put you down.
Oh, it'll knock your front wheel out from under you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was very unnerving just because my first time and going downhill. I'd gotten a little better, still got a long ways to go, but that was interesting. But all of it is confidence inspiring. All you got to do is go out and do it. You know, you mentioned earlier, people saying I'm too old to start adventure riding. I'm damn near 50.
Yep. Me too.
I'm not young. I'm not young at all. So, you know, if you have some sense about you and don't just go balls to the walls and you have good gear, you know, with adventure riding, having good jacket and pants with armor in it is hugely important. Boots are big important, you know, so you don't break your ankle or whatever. So, you know, I went out and got good gear. And every time I've fallen so far, I survived.
Yeah.
But we went down in Ellensburg, you know, had a good laugh, at my expense and, had some coffee. And then from there we rode out west of Ellensburg up towards Menashtash Observatory. There's an astronomical observatory up there. Great view of Ellensburg. And then worked our way, back through Barbecue Flats into the Weenass Lake area, which is west of, Sela, and then worked our way back. It was a great ride.
What the observatory is again?
It is a Menashtash Ridge astronomical.
Say it again.
Astronomical.
Okay. Is that kind of like documentary?
Documentary.
Instead of documentary.
Documentary.
Earlier.
It's when I'm reading it. I know. It's funny. I can just say it. Documentary. Yep. But when I read it, for some reason, it's documentary.
He's highly educated, really, people. He is. No, I just got it. I just like trashing on him. It's fun. We work together every day now.
I got a couple degrees.
Yeah, he does. And
just can't read worth a shit.
Right. You just missed that degree.
Didn't do well in reading.
So I want to say this. Speaking of KLRs and getting into the game, now I know a lot of you are, you know, we love all bikes here. Of course, we love Harley Davidsons. We love Indians. We love, Kawasaki's and Hondas and BMWs. We love all bikes here. We support everybody as long as your knees are in the breeze, whether it's street, adventure, whatever, dirt bike, and we love that. A lot of you are diehard, you know, very brand loyal Harley, and that's cool. Some of you are Indian brand loyal or whatever, but I feel like some of you may want to get into the adventure game, but you don't want to go because the KLRs don't have bells and whistles and you're like, I want to get into it. But I want something that can really make the bar to entry very low and keep it very safe for me. And for those, I say, you really need to look at the Harley Davidson Pan America. It's an awesome, awesome bike. What you really need to learn is the features it has. And the best way to learn that is we've did several podcasts on the Pan America. So search the website, very good search feature right there. Pan America, you'll get everything we've ever done. Plus I was invited down to Sturgis 2 years ago when they revealed the Pan America and test rode and review it. And that video's got a absolute buttload of views. We had a good time making that video. It's very thorough. So you'd want to get into something like that. It's going to cost you a hell of a lot more than a KLR, but you can get in if you're really concerned. You can get in a lot safer because, you know, you've got, traction control and you've got different ride modes and you've got drag, torque, slip control. You've got a plethora of stuff that can really, like I say, simply said, it makes the bar to entry to riding off-road very low.
When it comes to skill,
I'm confident anybody can get on that bike and do it. With that said, we're very excited. We hope we're looking for next year. We're crossing our fingers right here. If you can visualize, We just talked to our main Harley Davidson rep today with some cool stuff that we think's coming up in 2023 that we're going to get to do and test and different things. With that said, we're trying to, I can't make any promises right now, but I know I would like to have the Pan America for a little bit longer term review. And I would like to ride it on a lot of the exact roads and environments that we ride around here in the Great Northwest and in the mountains, along with some beautiful views and shots, but really put that thing, and you know, how much more I like it than a KLR. And we're not comparing them apples to oranges because they're two different bikes, they're different weights. But I know that where we ride, mostly the Pan America would be perfect and it would be just fine. So I'm looking forward. We're hoping, that we can get one of those come spring of 2023 for y'all. And I can really, really break it down for you, that bike and how it works in those environments and how it may work for you and the different skill sets, you know, on where you're at, with your skill set and how you can kind of get into adventure riding that way. Cause that's, if you got the coin, that's a much better way to get into than a KLR that has no ABS. Mostly mine has no ABS, you know, no bells and whistles, no gas gauge. Even mine, yours does now, the 2022, just, I have to go buy mileage, but you know, no comforts, no creature comforts, and none of that smart technology. So anyways, yeah, looking forward to that. We're hoping that that will be one of our many Harley projects, that we, you know, get together with Harley and do some cool things. We're hoping that will transpire, and you can look forward to that podcast and, of course, very detailed video in 2023 if everything works out. All right. So we got into, speaking of this, now here's the deal. Adventure riding.
I still need to get one of these.
You do.
For my adventure bike.
The Butt Buffer guys. Now, we've of course promoted them via Street. We love the Butt Buffer seat cushion. We sell the bejesus out of them. So I use this actually on my KLR also. And in our Butt Buffer review video, it's on the YouTube channel, on the website, of course. I go over that and I basically use a medium size cushion on my KLR seat because it's very narrow. It's actually a passenger pillion seat cushion instead of the big wide one for my Harley. And I was rocking it the other day. It's on there permanently and it has straps around the bottom so it doesn't slide around. And I ride pretty aggressive, Lurch can tell you, and I don't have any problems. You know, a lot of times you're standing too, but the times where after it hit pavement to get there, and even a lot of the gravel Forest Service roads, I'm sitting because it's not technical riding. But I'm telling you, the Butt Buffer seat cushion, guys, it's all over in our store. We've got the different sizes. We've got the passenger ones. You not only need it for your street bike, it's a must if you're going to travel. Takes away all those pressure points. It's made up of a hospital-grade solid and elastic materials. It's unlike those gel pads. They will leak if punctured. This thing really does. Because it's hospital-grade, it takes away those pressure points. Like we say, fits all motorcycles, really installs in seconds and cleans up easily, helps to dampen vibrations. It's just an unbelievable product that these folks have created over at Butt Buffer. But again, selling them right in the Law Abiding Biker store, and we've got a full lineup for you. Head over at lawabidingbiker.com/store. There you go. So day two, we head out. Now, I must say, we were going to go to a place. We did go to a place called Jump Off Joe here. And it's probably about an hour ride. You actually have to hit quite a bit of pavement to get up there. You got to go up US Highway 12 up towards White Pass, Washington. And then we cut off and then you get on the dirt. But once we get on the dirt, I have to say that this was probably a good second ride. And after riding across to, other than the powder dirt, which we're going to get to the powder dirt.
Hey, people. Matt, this is an easy ride. It's even easier than the one we did last time. It's just Forest Service roads. It could have been.
That was not my fault.
No. And that's that's kind of way things go up.
That road is pretty easy had it not been for the powder dirt, dude. So I was like, I'm not going to get Lurch in a bind again and take him on something. This road I knew well, and it had been more recent that I rode it. And so I knew just that first part is kind of a little bit steep. But after that, it's literally, I mean, they're not they're not like perfectly groomed Forest Service roads, but it's very not completely technical. And so I knew Lurch would do well on this road, and I wanted, you know, build confidence, and I knew where we were going. You guys, let me tell you, the view is, we'll get to that, but it is, it's something straight from like God. It's just absolutely, it does something to your soul when you're up there. And we'll talk about that. We're on our way getting there. But one of the things about this road, how'd you feel at first?
Great.
Back? Cause this is your second ride and it had been quite a gap between where we rode the first time and second time. And you had some new things to try, right?
Exactly. The first time I had the stock suspension, which Kawasaki says that they improved it and it was stiffer, and that may be true, but the rear shock is essentially the same. I don't know if they may put a stiffer spring in it. At my size, it was pretty soft, and the front suspension was very soft, and it was not confidence inspiring when I rode it the first time.
Because really on the first ride, you got on our bikes, right?
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so with the stock suspension, really bounces up and down, doesn't feel real planted. And both of you guys wanted to ride my bike because it had the fuel injection.
So and new suspension. We just want to feel.
Just want to see what the difference was. And so I got on yours first, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And yours felt pretty good.
You got an Oscars first.
It was Oscars. Then. Yeah. Okay. So Oscars, because he's closer in weight to me, is set up a little bit closer to what I would need.
The sag is better.
Yeah, the sag and all that kind of stuff was better. But right away I could feel that it was just so much more well planted. You know, the back was stiffer. The front was quite a bit stiffer when you were just riding around. And when you hit bumps, it absorbed them better. So so much better ride. And I told both of them, like, oh my God, that's a huge difference. I'm doing it right away.
Yeah.
So in between this trip, the second one and the first one, we had got the crash protection on the bike that had all come in. And we got the progressive monotube suspension in the front. And
which is in the Law Abiding Biker store, all by the way.
Yep, all of it's in there.
Going to do an install video. We already did. I just got to get it out.
Yeah. Big difference. It's much more planted, feels much more secure. When you hit the brakes, the front end doesn't dive. It was diving horribly. And that's one thing in all the reviews I've seen on the KLRs is, you know, horrible front end dive on the brakes. So they did improve the brakes a little bit on the KLR, a little bit larger diameter in front, a little thicker in the rear. And then with the...
you like them thick in the rear?
That's right. Juicy. And then with the improved suspension, when I hit the brakes, I believe I told you, I was like, my God, it's a different bike. It stops so much better because it didn't have the brake dive. So felt a lot more comfortable going on this trip knowing I had the new suspension to test out and all the crash protection.
Yeah. And we didn't put the progressive. We actually put a different brand, which we don't sell, but we really like it.
Yeah.
But we decided to go with something a little bit better, or that we sell in our store, I guess.
I just want to do something different. You guys have already done another brand. I want to try something different. It was something that we could sell in the store. And if it turned out well, we could bring it in. And it was a fairly easy install. You do
cartridge kit, which we're going to do an episode on, right?
Yeah. I think so. We'll do a complete episode, but you know, a couple specialty tools you may want to make the job easier, but pretty straightforward and what a huge improvement. So, that's why I decided to go with that one. Cause we had it available to us to sell through the store.
Yep. So Lurch testing this stuff out. Now, I will tell you, to get back to what I was saying, is that I set up this ride because I knew it would be non-technical. Now,
should have been.
The problem with Jump Off Joe is it's like, okay, so let me say this. Let's get to Jump Off Joe and then we're going to talk about coming back. So we get up there, but the ride was pretty sketchy. Here's the deal. Jump Off Joe is basically, so I used to work for the Forest Service like 30 years ago. I was a firefighter for the Forest Service for a few years until I was able to get into law enforcement. I actually worked these areas that we're riding in. Now, back in the day, honestly, this dates me, folks, of how old I am, because I thought that they still use these. And what they are is we had, and some of you are going to relate because some of you are close to my age out there. What we used back then is lookout towers. So there would be specific Forest Service fire personnel that would basically live in a structure on stilts on these specific high points throughout the Wenatchee National Forest here. And they would be fire spotters. And they had maps up there, and there's ways that they could spot the fires from those vantage points, even far away, and they could map it out. And then they could tell us on the ground, you know, how what the coordinates were or close to for a particular fire, so we could either hike in or drive in, depending on whether it was wilderness or whatnot. So this is Jump Off Joe is the last standing structure. I thought they still use these things. I found out last time me and Oscar went, they took them all down. They don't even do it that way anymore. I don't know how they do it now. They must use GPS or I don't know how they call out fires. Anyways, I'm sure somebody's like, you're an idiot.
Probably GPS, Ryan. Satellite, yeah,
they
imagery.
They have to see it. I guess, can they?
Reports.
I guess.
Aerial.
I guess. I don't know. Anyways, I'm sure somebody out there is like, you're an idiot. The answer is that whatever, email us. This is the last, they left this tower up, but it's not used. And the structure still there, and it's the last one. And they ask that everybody treats it nicely. It's a piece of history. And you can actually sleep in it if you respect it. You know, it's all the honor system. And I'm glad so far people have honored it. But with that said, that's how good a point it is. And of course, this used to be a beautiful thing, and it's still going to be. But guess what comes in? Cell towers, folks. So we get there.
Some type of tower. Yeah.
See, on the way up, it's a cell tower, I bet. That's a perfect cell tower. So on the way up, the reason it was so sketchy, the riding compared to usual, there was deep ass powder dirt. And what I'm talking about, like you walk in it, it's like talcum powder. I'm not kidding. It's that. Yep. And you all know what I'm talking about if you've been in it. And it was in some places like at least a foot deep. It was just insanity. And I'm pretty experienced. And it even threw me for a loop on a few of them trying to get through it. I tried going really fast and that worked pretty good, but I trust me, it was sketchy and my back end was going all over and I about wrecked twice and I tried it slow and that wasn't so good. And I was like, oh no, Lurch, I got him in over our head again. He was trucking through it slow.
I was trogging through it.
He was getting through, but with what I'm trying to say is we didn't know why that road was so effed up because I've ridden it before. Come to find out, about near the summit, we hit dump truck and he let us go around. Then we realized, well, they've got all kinds of heavy equipment for mounting those towers up there on that bluff. And so these dump trucks are in and out for who knows how long they've been doing this.
And a semi truck. There's a guy that delivered just a little short bed, but he delivered the blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, there was all kinds of, you know, four wheel drive, large machinery that was getting up in there and they were just teetering the road.
Yep. It was insane. It's the deepest, craziest powder dirt I've ever ridden in adventure. I mean, you should see us. We look like we got tarred and feathered with dust and it was insane.
Yeah.
And so that's what we say. That was not my fault. Cause you can't see that on the satellite, you know, the roads changes, but nonetheless, Lurch was a troop and, he powered through it. And, we did make it to the summit without too much incident. On the way up, you did dumper once, not in the powder dirt, didn't you?
Earlier I did it. Same kind of thing I did on my first trip where I'm going up not even a huge grade, but I was going up a hill. There's a rut, there's some shale. And it started getting a little bit loose and I should have just looked forward to where I wanted to go and gave it a little bit more power. But as I felt the bike get uneasy, I slowed down. And once I slowed down, I kind of lost my momentum and knew it was going to fall and just dropped it on the side.
This
time with crash bars.
Oh,
no big deal at all. You can't even tell.
Yep. Yeah.
But that
was the crash bar test.
That one took me a little bit more. Yeah. We didn't test them.
Yeah.
Now we can say they're good.
Exactly.
They work great. That was a little harder to pick up just cause I was on a hill and the shale. Yeah. Footing wasn't great. Once I got it up, then the trick was getting my leg up and over it and then get going again. So a little challenging, but I got her done.
Yep. And, so you get up here, guys. I already told you it's like one of the best views have in life. I mean, it's that spot and, it's worth the ride every time. Always a bit breezy up there, but it is, you can oversee Mount Rainier is like in your face. It's just gorgeous. Rimrock Lake. You look down onto all kinds of stuff. Lost Lake. Anyways, If you want to see that, I did some shorts on Instagram. You can, or the YouTube channel shorts and some Instagram reels, just some real quick 1 minute videos of what that looks like and the ride up there. Again, they're just shorts. So just a minute of your time, but, yeah, head over to the YouTube channel, check them out, or Instagram reels or the tickety talk. But yeah, beautiful. And, so I knew that we had to go, we spent some time up there, but I knew that we had to go back down through that powder dirt. And I knew Lurch might be a little bit tired, but, I was hoping that we would get through it. But before we talk about the incident, we got something here we got to do. Are you searching for the easiest and quickest attachable luggage system for your motorcycle? Rick Rec has just what you're looking for. Forget all those frustrating straps and bungee cords that can come loose and slap your paint. Check out one of Rick Rec's awesome quick attach strapless luggage rack systems. This father-son team designed something really special. Mm-hmm. Can't find it anywhere else. Yep. And these guys ride, so they truly understand the needs of bikers. The Rick Rec Quick Attach system is strong, durable, and secure with a lockable system. Also, check out their full line of quality touring bags to accompany your quick detach system. Once you use Rick Rec, you'll never go back. What are you waiting for, bikeaholics? Head over to the Law Abiding Biker Store. Check out our full line of Rick Rec systems and bags. And if there was a Rick Rec for my adventure, I'd be highly interested.
Mm.
Although it would just have to be a bag. A quick detach would be nice, but you don't really need it because when you're adventure riding, you're not necessarily hoteling it, you're camping. So it'd have to be a system for the KLR or Pan America. I'm sure they're working on it. All right. So we start heading down and I knew it wasn't very far. Some of the deepest powdered dirt it was near the summit. Yeah. And honestly, Lurch thinks I was setting him up. I know in the deep in his mind, he despises me. He holds grudges against me.
You go first. I'm like, oh, he's waiting for me to, I figured you wanted to get footage. Not that you wanted me to crash.
No.
But you wanted to get some footage.
Okay. I think deep down in your soul, you think I wanted you to crash.
No.
I had no
one. No, you wouldn't want me to crash.
Because you made it all the way up.
Yeah.
And so I was like, he's got it. But what I wanted to get, I didn't have any footage. I only got footage of me riding.
So you wanted to see my wheels go through the deep powder
and show the real perspective.
Yeah, you could see that the wheels are just disappearing into the powder.
It was like up to the axle.
Yeah.
It was insane. It was
almost, oh my God. I can't imagine once that gets wet, that's going to be gnarly.
Oh, we're screwed once it rains.
Going up wasn't too bad. I was able to just, keep my, if I needed to, if I felt washing, I could throw a foot out, and get some traction. And but going down again, totally different story. And we were just out. I mean, I made it through the worst parts of it.
You did.
We were down at the bottom.
I know, dude.
Almost out of the powder dirt.
You made it all the way up. So I thought he's good to go. And so I, like I say, I got behind him. I turned the cameras on and I really wanted to get this experience of him riding and a different perspective than just me and his bike, like we say, going through the powder dirt. Mm. Okay. So we did. We do have a video out on this and we already told you that. Lurch is in front of me. Now, I'm going to tell my perspective and then Lurch can give his.
Yeah.
I am not expecting this at all. I'm following pretty damn close, but we're going slow.
Yeah, we're.
I'm trying the slow mode.
Yeah, we're only going a couple.
Because I about ate shit going fast and it would have been bad wrecks.
We're like maybe 10 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And
just putting along.
I start seeing Lurch going and we hit a deep spot of the powder dirt and Lurch, all of a sudden, it was almost in slow motion. He starts carving to the left. He lost his front wheel a little bit. He starts leaning kind of in an arc to the left. And at some point, I don't know exactly where it was. It happened fast, but I'm like, oh, he's actually going all the way down. Lurch is carving. Now you got to picture this. Like
It's like snow carving, like a snowboard.
Like a snowboard.
Yeah.
And the powder dirt's flying and Lurch, all of a sudden I see him reach out and I actually have a steel shot of it. We want to blow it up, but it's kind of, we had to pull out a video and it's kind of pixelated. But dude, before it could happen and let me tell how it happened. Then I'll tell you what an asshole I am because it's just my personality. But Lurch, I knew it was soft, but Lurch goes down and you got to watch the video. I slow it down, straight arms out, completely off the bike. The bike's already down and he's like doing kind of a slow Superman because you kind of were able to control it
a little bit till I lost it
till you lost it at the end. Once he hit the dirt, he goes helmet face, not quite face first, on its side.
Yeah, my left side.
Your left side.
Kind of did a bit of a roll to my left.
It was a nice barrel roll. Somebody said that on the post. They're like, who was that? I'm trying to remember. Oh, it was Mouse. He goes, should have barrel rolled.
Yeah, I did a half a barrel roll.
Oh my God. And the dust just, and then your legs kind of come up by you as the momentum stops, dude. And just a big puff of talcum powder, dude. Oof. And I stop, and here's the asshole I am. And I don't mean to, because my sisters like it too. But like when people get like crash or get hurt, it's hard for me not to laugh at first. I'm concerned for the person, but like if somebody hits their finger with a hammer, my first response is to laugh because it's funny as shit. Because the, or it's, somebody,
it's inappropriate.
It is totally inappropriate.
But that's your response.
I am, and I'm an asshole for it. And I want to make sure you're okay. I honestly
you probably
knew,
love watching MTV's ridiculousness.
Oh yes,
all the people
I do.
They're all falling and
I do, dude.
Doing dumb shit.
Even when it's family, even when my wife, I have to be really careful because my girls were do something. I'm like, I laugh at them, and I can't. So I'm not laughing at you. It's just because people dumping bikes is funny and getting, I knew you didn't get hurt.
I get it.
And I knew it was powder dirt. And so I was fairly confident and we were going so slow. You went down pretty gracefully considering.
Oh, thank you.
It was very graceful considering for a 7-foot man on a KLR. And here's the best part. So I immediately like stop and you can see the laugh on my face on the video because I'm laughing and I just throw my arms up and I give out a big yell and because it was freaking awesome and I was excited because I had the cameras on and or the camera on and so Lurch gets up that we still don't so we go back later and we're at the restaurant. Lurch is getting an ego beer to repair his ego and I'm pulling the footage out and I noticed because I didn't notice at the time but I'm replaying it over and over. You got to watch the video. It's the new Lurch knee walk. Instead of getting up, Lurch is on his knees. Now he's just filthy with powder dirt. He looks up at me and he starts walking and he takes about four. It's the new knee. It's kind of like the moonwalk. Like Michael Jackson created the moonwalk. Lurch created the knee walk. And for some reason, he's going to explain. I don't think he can explain why he did it. He still doesn't know, but he's going to try. He knee walks. In the powder dirt, four knee walks back.
I don't know if it's
and
four.
Then this, we're pulling the video. It was four.
Okay.
I've edited it and watched it. So every time, guys, that I'm editing this video, and I was editing it the other day, and I know Lurch is probably like, you're a fucking idiot. He probably just wants to punch me. But I told him, I'm not laughing at you. It brings great,
it's
like,
good video.
Like, it
good
makes content. My heart feel good because it's a great laugh.
I'm not embarrassed by
no.
it.
No. And Lurch is good about it. He let me put it out and everything. And that's what we do. We're real riders here. And you're going to go down and you're going to crash. Don't hide it. These things happen. That's how you get better. And especially adventure riding. He's got the proper gear on. We were going slow. It's not going to kill you. But I was editing this up and I was all the different creative ways I could do it. And I just was literally had tears coming out of my eyes. And Lurch is over here trying to work. And he's like, I'm sure he's like, you asshole. I'm going to deck you. I'm just going to deck you, dude. So thank you, Lurch, for understanding. I'm not laughing at you. Because Lurch knows he's seen me wreck. Mm-hmm. A few times. Mm-hmm. And I'll show people. I don't care that stuff happens. And, but it's the funniest thing. So now that you guys hear it, you got to go watch the short on YouTube or the Instagram reel. It's damn funny. And, and then while you're on your knees, I have the video of you pat yourself.
Like I go to wipe the dust off my jacket.
You like hit yourself and it's just a big talcum powder poof of dust.
I had dirt everywhere.
Oh God. It was horrid.
Yeah.
It was horrid. I help you get your bike up. And as we pick your bike up, the dirt comes out of the motor and stuff. Yeah, did you see that? Yeah. It's like powder dirt releasing from the engine. Oh, he's showing me his wallet is still dirty. Yeah. Another thing.
Well, that was my mistake.
Rookie
after coffee. Yeah.
KLR.
I threw my wallet in my pocket of my pants and not back into a bag.
Yes. So he's still digging the powder dirt out of it. Actually, I don't think you're ever going to get that out of your wallet.
No, I think that's going to be on permanent. The edge of the wallet forever. Every time I look at it, it makes me laugh.
So Lurch, we were wearing our climb protective gear and pants.
Induction,
our typical adventure gear and helmets and everything. So he was fine. Even though he hit his helmet and his head, he tested all the gear. The ATX, the what is it? EXO AT950 helmet has now been crash tested in an adventure environment, so we can even review it further.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I hit my head or not. There was some dirt on it, so I know at least made you impact did. With the powder.
You at least slid on your helmet a little bit.
I know that. So from my perspective, I was going along and we're in the powder, but it's getting thinner. It's not as deep, I should say. And I can see just ahead of us that we're going back to gravel. And I don't know if I got cocky or was looking up or what, but yeah, it carved to the left. And I think I bumped my front tire from what I recall. I remember an impact. So I think I hit something, a rock or whatever under the powder, and it just kind of shot me to the left. We've talked about it since.
You went with it though.
I went with it.
Way to commit.
Well, what I should have done is probably counter steered, looked up and gave it a little gas, maybe made it through it. But you know, rookie mistakes,
being
a
new rider, how you learn.
I'm like, oh shit, I'm going down instead of, let me try to save this. I was thinking about how to crash gracefully and less about how do I get out of this.
Yep.
So once I knew it was gone, it was going. In the video, you can see me basically step off the bike. I put my left foot out, step, and then do a barrel roll. I didn't realize how far off the edge of the road I actually went. My upper body was off the edge of the road quite a bit. Did a barrel roll, came up to my knees, reached over, and I kind of did a bit of a knee walk to the bike.
Bit of a knee walk. You're minimizing the knee walk.
I did.
Knee walked.
So I rolled. I got up to my knees and I'm in powder.
When he knee walks, he's the same height as me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm a large man. So getting up in powdered dirt and after a wreck, I'm 50. You know, knees aren't what they used to be and all that. All I can think of is, so I rolled. I reached over to turn off the bike, and I think it was just part of my process of getting to a position where I could stand up, getting out, you know, getting my senses, getting out of the dirt and standing up.
You sneezed too.
Oh, of course.
I got that on the video. You're like coughing because the dust is all sort of.
It's not a sneeze cough.
Yeah, it was a cough right after you got on your knees. You're like, oh, coughing up dust and shit. Yeah. It's on the video. You guys got to share that video around. We're trying to make Lurch more famous than he already is.
So the knee walk, all I can think of is me trying to maybe get into the middle of the road or, you know, get in a position where I can then, you know, work my way up and stand up. It looks funnier shit on film. I have no idea why I did it. I really don't. All I can say is I think it was just me getting into position to stand up.
Yes. I'm going to do this. We're making some notes. Put KLR crash video in show notes.
Yeah.
So Lurch will put that in the show notes for you guys. So if you haven't seen it and you're listening to this months later, if you're not a patron member, go to the show notes, lawabidingbiker.com/ whatever episode number this is. And we'll put the actual embed the YouTube short in there so you can see. So even if you're listening right now, just go to the show notes on your app or whatever, and there'll be a link there for you. You can pull it up real quick if you want to get a better visual of what we're talking about, the play by play.
Yeah. You've got slow-mo, you've got loops, you got some loops in there, and, Ryan laughing and me coughing and, have fun. You know, it's one of those things, like you said, sometimes watch people crash and knowing they didn't hurt themselves. It's kind of funny.
Who doesn't like to see that? I mean, it's good entertainment.
Yeah.
It's a minute of your life and it'll make your heart and your spirit feel good in laughter. You're not laughing at Lurch, you're laughing with him.
And for those of you that are watching it, I did not get hurt at all. I was a little stiff the next day, but I didn't get hurt. So you can laugh as much as you want knowing I was not hurt.
Yep. There you go. There you go. Now, we love our patron members. We want to get to know you better. We want to give you all those damn benefits. I mean, yeah, we want to get to know you in that private Facebook group. But hey, for whatever reason, you can't sign up as a patron member. You just want to leave us a flat donation. We never balk at a flat donation. Monty Mulebach, substantial donation. Thank you, Monty. Gary Bird of Sturgeon County, Alberta, Canada, donated after we answered a question via email. Thank you. We appreciate it. And Edward Bigabing. Thank you very much. lawabidingbiker.com/donate. It's that simple. Also on the homepage to the right side, there's a donate button. We do really appreciate it. It helps put a little fuel in the Law Abiding Biker gas tank,
so we can keep this thing running on down the road.
There you go, guys. So we had a beautiful ride. We are going out this Friday, and we're testing some new camera type gear and stuff. So I'll probably be putting out some shorts. So make sure you check YouTube shorts. Make sure you get over to Instagram. We are building over there quickly. And that's at Law Abiding Biker. Of course, we're on Facebook, Law Abiding Biker. We are on TikTok at Law Abiding Biker. We're everywhere. Law Abiding Biker. YouTube is at Ryan Urlacher, or you can search Law Abiding Biker, whatever you want to do. You'll get it either way. But we're putting that content, especially Instagram, guys. That's the one where we're doing even some stuff that we aren't doing anywhere else, behind the scenes, cool stuff. And I'll probably be putting out some shorts. hopefully, if Lurch crashes again, he won't get hurt and I can get it on film.
I did learn a few things from crashing in powder dirt or just crashing in general. Make sure you put your wallet in your, tank bag or saddle bag or whatever. But I also learned not to have your pistol on, your handgun on your hip.
Yep. He made a couple rookie mistakes. I put all this in my tank bag.
Yeah.
Yep. My wallet's in there, my glasses, my gun, everything's in my tank bag.
Mine was covered in dirt. I had to strip it apart.
That's right.
I mean, it's not just dirt. It was freaking talc.
It's the worst.
Yeah. The worst that gets in, and you get that stuff in there, it's going to really wear and tear on your gun. Yep. So
it's like dumping it in water. It gets everywhere through every crack.
Major cleanup. That took some time.
Did you have mud boogers in the shower later that day?
No.
Did you have to clean your crack?
Not really. No. The helmet did a pretty good job.
It's not like rolling in the sand on the beach. You get a crack in every crevice.
I think I had crevice. Some dirt in my nose and ears that you normally would have. It wasn't
just
horrible.
From riding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't horrible.
Yeah.
The little chin skirt on my helmet too.
That helps.
That helps keep some of that stuff out.
Why don't you talk about something new we brought to the store as we take it out here?
Which one do you want me to talk about?
The new ones, the for safety, because since you crashed.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, if you would have crashed, Lurch? Here's the deal. If you would have crashed and you would have fallen off a cliff because you were, too close to the cliff, I've told you 1,000 times to stay away from the cliff, and you rolled and you barrel rolled a couple times, and you're good, but you hit your elbow, you scraped it up, you're bleeding, or you completely amputated your left leg. What are we going to do?
We've got you covered. We've got what we call an everyday carry trauma kit. It is basically an individual first aid kit, similar to what we carry in law enforcement. It's got what they refer to as an Israeli bandage. That's a compression bandage that's easy to use. It's got a tourniquet. So if you got some major bleeding,
like I said, if you got fully lost your left leg, I would have tourniqueted your ass.
Yeah, if you get to me quick.
Oh, enough. I would have. You're my man.
But it also has bandages and that kind of stuff. So that's a great kit. We all carry those trauma kits on our bikes.
Tourniquet you around your neck.
I'm just applying this
to your neck. It's hurt.
Street and adventure. Then we have some smaller kits if you're looking for just something with some Band-Aids. We got trauma dressings with Quick Clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got, if you want something really big, we've got the Adventure Medical Kit.
So I like it big.
Got you all covered. Even a fire extinguisher. Big Daddy Kane put a fire extinguisher in
there.
That's
badass.
So, new section for us. First aid and emergency equipment. Check it out.
LawAbidingBiker.com/store. Lurch will put a link in there to that new stuff. And here's the deal. I got those kits. All right. You get one. You're ready. Now, this is great for street because obviously street, you can get hurt just as bad, if not worse, because there's cars and shit on the road. Texting all them damn cagers. But here's the deal. You get one of those kits, there's only one thing it's missing. You got it. I would lawabidingbiker.com/fresh-butt get hooked up with some travel dude wipes because that is an emergency.
Oh,
that is an emergency.
I've had that emergency before.
And it should go no other place than your first aid kit. So when you got to go and run off the side of the road and squirt behind a tree, you can wipe up and even Lurch. He could have cleaned his crack right there. All the dirt and the powder dirt out of his crack.
Oh, I had some.
I think you could even use the dude wipes on your ears. You could clean
at least
your
exterior.
Face.
I wouldn't jam them in your ears, but you could definitely wipe yours.
You could. You could have been, squeaky clean, but you got to squirt behind a tree. You got to pinch a loaf. You got to have some travel dude wipes in your first aid kit. Again, lawabidingbiker.com/fresh-butt. And all those first aid kits are over in the store. For you guys, we've got a lot of new products. Big Daddy killing it down there in the store. We hope you enjoyed the episode. We hope you had fun. It was some stories and some fun times, and hopefully it gives you a little inside look a little further, because we like all kinds of riding, into adventure riding, and whether it's something that you want to dabble in, because you don't have to go all hardcore. You certainly can dabble, and hopefully, like I say, in the spring, we can get hooked up, if it all works out, with a Pan America, because I know a lot of you want the lower bar to entry skill-wise. So there you go. We appreciate you guys being with us. We're going to work hard. Been working hard all week, and then we are going to hit the mountains Friday on the KLRs. LawAbidingBiker.com/fresh-butt. BUTT.